today I'm talking with Hamlet Alpisa. And this is actually quite an honor because Hamlet is in fact from the city that I live in the Dominican Republic. He's from Santiago, and he now lives in Santo Domingo. So I have to be a little nice to Hamlet because English isn't his native language, but he speaks it very well. I first met Hamlet about 3 or 4 years ago when he was one of the top search affiliates for the keyword Phentermine. Phentermine is, I think, a banned weight loss drug, and I personally watched Hamlet on the search results for at least 6 months on the front page of Google in the top 10 search results of that keyword. And I was very impressed by that. And when I was researching that space, and I noticed that Hamlet was on the, I saw his contact information that, you know, who is on the domain. So I went and tracked him down and went and met him in Santo Domingo. So I've seen what he's done with my own eyes, and I went and found him. And so I know that he's completely real, and more real than just about anyone else I've come across in search. And I went to his office and seen how he worked, and now I finally got a chance to interview him. So Hamlet, welcome, and thanks for coming on to the interview.
Yeah, thanks to you, Adrian. It was definitely a pleasure and a surprise when we met a few years ago, and it was really interesting. I'm really honored to be part of this interview with this elite group of internet professionals.
Sure thing. So why don't we start off and tell us a little bit about who you are and where you come from? I mean, I know some of your story, but you know, maybe tell us a little bit about how you grew, you know, went and started out in Santiago, and you know, tell us how things went from there and where, how you got your start with the internet and everything else.
Yeah, I come from, as you said yourself, I was actually born in Puerto Plata, which is at the north. So that's where my parents are from and where my grandparents live. And but I was pretty much raised in Santiago and pretty much feel like I'm a Santiaguero, the way we said it in Spanish. And because I was living in Santiago since then, I probably like 4 or 5 years old. I was 4 or 5 years old. And you live there, you know, all the cities, really beautiful, nice city. I spend most of my time there. I mean, my living like normal kid, and then I was always attracted to challenges, to technology. I was actually when I was a kid, I used to play a lot of video games, and I used to keep a notebook of all the games that I was able to finish on Zark, like a collection of games that I was able to fully complete. From the beginning, I was always somebody that loved to be challenged, liked to be pushing, that liked to be pushed to a limit to find out how far I can get. Then I went to study telecommunications engineering, and it was really interesting. Telemática is the name of the career in Santiago, Pucamaima. And it was interesting because my career is like a mix. I see a lot of electronic. For the first 3 years, I'm sharing classes with people that take electronics engineering. I also share a lot of classes with people from computer science, but I got really attracted to interestingly most of the programming and the internet. I think at school was my first time I was introduced to the internet, and I have a really funny story to tell about that. Just one of my teachers used to work for Cortex, which is a big IT company here, and he was really proud of his job. Internet was kind of new then. I mean, we're talking about 1994. And so he, at a pitch, he had access to that, and then he installed a dial-up account in one of the computers in the laboratory, in the computer science, in the class laboratory. And so we could use it there. But the thing is that I was useful. But back then, I also was playing a little bit with Linux, and I wanted to be able to use the internet from home. And he would give us a password. It was a dial-up connection. And so a classmate that is working for me right now, he's a chief software architect. We both went into the computer, and we identified and created a password that was stored. Back then was a trumpet or something. And we reversed the cryptography algorithm that was using, and then we took the password, and we took it from, and we started using it on our computers at home. And
so you broke in. Why don't you move on and tell us a little bit how you got started with Paddy Poker?
Yeah, that's when I moved to San Domingo. I worked for Cortex for like 2 years. While I was working there, while I was working on Cortex, I was system administrator. I was using a system administrator. I had Solaris experience. I was working with Solaris servers, some servers running Solaris OS. And I saw an ad in the newspaper that they were looking for people with Solaris experience. So I saw the ad, and I call the phone, or I remember somebody passed me the end and said, "Hey, looking for us, Larry's system administrator." I call the phone number, and one of the owners picked it up, because her name's Ruth Farisol. Right now she's one of the listeners.
Ruth Farisol. You just called her off an ad in the newspaper, and you spoke straight to Ruth Farisol, who's now a billionaire today.
Exactly, yeah. I called her, and she saw that I was the system administrator. She started talking to me and saying, "Oh, yeah," and then wanted to talk a little bit more to see how my English was. And she said, "Oh, yeah, that's fine." She's so aggressive. She told me that she wanted me to go to the interview the same day. I started telling her that, yeah, we'll call it this and that. And the point is, I went to I was not prepared. I went to a store and I bought a suit just to go to the interview. So I picked up my suit. I went there, and I tell you, I sat and I went to the desk, and then she introduced herself, and she was sitting right with two other guys. And one of them is the other owner, which is Anurag Dixit, which is a billionaire too. She's one of the owners.
And yeah, then these two guys. As well. So why did you leave Prototel? What were you making Prototel, and what were they offering you to make you want to leave?
On that interview, they offered me. They were impressed with the interview, and they offered me to. They doubled my salary that time. But
what
I was
were you making before, and what were you making afterwards?
I was making about, I think it was 22,000 pesos or something like that. It was about $1,500 or something.
So they offered you $3,000.
They offered me $3,000. They doubled my salary back, and then but they offered me also to work as a consultant for them to develop software. And I chose that. I didn't work for them initially, so I was working with them for a year. I was building an email system to capture obtain emails, compliment emails, and all that. And then after that, I saw all the problems they were having. I went one day and I pitched them, "Hey, this is what you need to do. You have all these mess with your IT." I told them that they need to hire a group of people and all that, and then they went back to me and offered me they came back with another offer and tell me to leave that group to hire the people that I think I needed and help them fix all the problems that I was stuck.
So they had a lot of money back then, didn't they?
They had a lot, yeah. Back then they were probably making about, probably say like $12 million a year. Probably still, it's
$12 million, they're doing okay. It's about $1 million a month.
Because they made a lot of money when they moved to Boulder, because they were on casinos first.
So you were there at the beginning of Party Poker, is the basic point.
Yeah, I was there. I mean, I was there when they were talking about the idea, when they were creating everything. I mean, I helped with a structure in Canada that they had that the server farm they had on the reservation.
Have you been in contact with Ruth or Anand or whatever his name is since?
Anurag. No, I haven't been in contact with them. I haven't been in contact with them. Last time I saw them was when they were here. Before they
so, and do you have any idea on how they think about, like, I mean, they've seen their stock go up to very high to very low, and you say, and what do you think they'd be thinking, and about the industry and what's going on? Were they just cashing out and not caring, or still working hard, or what do you think's going on?
I have no idea. I haven't been following that particular industry. So I don't.
How did you make the jump over to search? How did Party Poker help you get into being a search affiliate?
Well, it's really interesting because I wanted to be an entrepreneur. I wanted to build a software company, and they're extremely demanding people, and I just got fed up, and I said, "Well, I will start my own. If these people are making money, and they don't know their heads from their tails with all these problems they have, I'll set out on my own." And then I spent like 3 months testing different things, and then I met one of the marketers that used to work for them. Who was doing affiliate marketing, search marketing via pay-per-click. We didn't talk much, but we were working there, and he wouldn't share much information because he had contact with him, and also he's not the kind of guy that likes to share. But he only told me that he was promoting Viagra, and that he was doing pay-per-click, and that's the only thing that I needed to know. I started doing my own research, and then I figured out how to start making money myself from money.
So you just got a bit of Viagra on pay-per-click, and that was it.
Exactly, yeah. I started doing different things, playing a little bit with email marketing, spamming, and things like that, and I saw that didn't work. And then with pay-per-click, started researching, and then I found that it was actually something that, if you know how to do it, can be really profitable. So I started with Viagra and pay-per-click.
How much were you making on Viagra on pay-per-click?
When I was on affiliate, the most I got to make was, when I was doing pay-per-click, I was making the most about $8,000 a month profit.
But when you first started, how much were you making?
When I started the first month, I probably made like $1,000 something.
So then you could see it worked, and so that was where the potential was.
Yeah, the funny thing is that the first month I didn't even have the credit line. I mean, my uncle borrowed his credit card, so I maxed it out the first month. Then the next month I pretty much almost didn't do anything because I had to wait for the commissions to come in. But I mean, after a month of coming, I mean, I was able to invest that money and then grow my marketing budget and then get to up to $8,000. It was when I started.
I mean, you went from where you're making $3,000 a month up to $8,000 as a Viagra affiliate.
Yeah. My goal was...
Are you using Google and Yahoo? Are you using other pay-per-click colors as well?
No, I was just using Google and Yahoo. I didn't. I started with Yahoo. Back then was Overture, and then I started dumping right away with Google AdWords. It just took those two. I tested the second tier ones, but I didn't see any results from those. I dropped them. I didn't waste time.
So then how did you make the move into search, and why did that come about?
Yeah, well, I was doing the organic search, right? I had a competitor, which is now a friend of mine that I keep in touch with him. And we were all also like competing on the pay-per-click, right? So one day I do a search, and then I see his site on the organic results. And then I wanted to find out how he got his site visitors on the organic results. And then I started looking at his site, looking at his content, started researching, and then I figured out that he hired a link network called Automated Links, that they put a bunch of links in the top, in the footer of the page. You include a JavaScript code. I mean, you include a PHP code on your page, and you get a bunch of invisible links with different anchor text pointing to a lot of different sites. So I signed up to that service too. It was broken at first, so I kind of like had to sign up from a Google cache. But I signed up to the system and threw all my sites there, and then I started ranking too. But that only lasted like for 2 months because Google killed the automated links and all the sites that were listed there.
So then suddenly you got a taste of free traffic and you want more of it.
Once you experience, when I did that, I mean, I jumped from $8,000 to $15,000, right? And so I said, hey, there's money here. So I spent more time researching and starting the top ranking sites and learning from them. And then when I finally got to the first page of Viagra on Google with one of my sites, which is PillRank, I moved to, that's when I started making money. I made about $15,000 that month.
$15,000
or $50,000?
No, $50,000. So the front page of Google for Viagra was $50,000
half a month? $50,000 a month for an affiliate back then. And I think, that's what I was making with PillRank on top of Viagra. And eventually I moved, I think, I don't know if that was when I started doing Tendermint 2, but I think with Viagra, at some point I got to 100,000 or 120, something like that.
What was the highest ranking? Did you ever get number one Google on Viagra?
I got my highest was number three. Viagra. Nobody has been able to get to the number one because Viagra.com is always the number one. Yeah.
So you got the number three. So of the available positions, so because I guess Viagra themselves had one and two, so you got to the highest position that anyone could get to.
Well, I think I had some really good competitors. I mean, I had a site like Cold Peel Watch and Mace Peels, the name of the Woodmasters. They're doing really good. But I was the first one to get there. And then a lot of people started seeing what I was doing because it was really easy. Back then, I just started doing link exchanges, you know. I just, hey, any links with this specific anchor text. So I started doing a massive number of link exchanges. And I even built programs to automate all the link exchange thing. And I even had my own programs to protect my link directory from the other spine. And it was really amazing. But, I mean, Google caught on. When you're doing 5,000 link exchanges on a site, it kicked the site. And it's an interesting industry. But I made a big money when I started doing Fanmin too. Fanmin has a higher demand. A lot of people didn't even know that. Most people said, oh, yeah, Viagra was the best. I mean, Fanmin was really good. It was so bad that it got so tough.
Was the keyword ranking much harder for Fanmin than Viagra?
When you were doing pay-per-click, I mean, Viagra was probably worth, number one spot was about, like, say, $7. Fanmin was worth $15.
But when you were doing the organic search, was Viagra less competitive than Fendamine or more competitive?
It was about the same level of competition, I'll say, because a lot of the RX affiliates, they know that the belts are really high-value keyword.
So what kind of dollars were you doing into peak on Fendamine?
Well, remember, our top was, we got at one point, we were number one on Fendamine. I think that's when you saw us.
I saw you on the front page, and I saw it there consistently for 6 months. But so what kind of revenue, what kind of money were you making on Fendamine?
Yeah, and I think the average was probably like a 180 or 200. We got to 300 one month. But problem, the problem with our industry was that a lot of the the providers had problems. I mean, you cannot depend on a provider to be fulfilling on a consistent basis. So that way, that's why your revenue always was like.
Oh, so you send sales to guys and they go out of business.
I'm sorry.
You would send sales to affiliate programs and they go out of business.
A lot of them went out of business, and took your money because of the problems of the regulations and everything. But a lot of them were having like shortage. I mean, they were losing the pharmacy, they were losing the providers, and they couldn't fill the orders in time, and a lot of crazy issues that they were having.
So they lured you in with a high payout, but then when you started giving volume, they weren't prepared to be able to fulfill it all.
Well, yeah, you can say that. You can say that. I mean, it's just really difficult, and a lot of shady people in that industry.
So I remember when we talked about this a couple of years ago, a really interesting thing you talked to me about was how you'd flip test, and you'd flip test in the organic search results. Can you talk a little bit about how you do that?
Yeah, the way we were doing it was getting several sites to rank for our own specific product. We had a bunch of target terms, and we try to use a completely different strategy with all the different sites. And then we, depending on which sites were coming up and which sites were coming down, we kind of like know what is the direction that we needed to take. So think about it like that you're having some sensors, let's say you want to follow Google's path, you put like several different sensors just to get a picture of what Google is going. So, we kind of like with the years we developed, we had sites using completely different strategies and tactics to get to the exact result, and then when we monitor the search to see.
So you'd watch which sites were moving up and which ones were moving down, and I'd be testing all of the different strategies so you could see which direction was starting to rank better in Google.
That's correct, yeah. That's right.
Hmm. How many sites do you have out there like that using all the different strategies?
We had like about 10. We didn't have that many. About 10 or 12.
And there was enough for you to get a read on what's happening?
Yeah, because there's not that many different... When you start, you do something, you hit it, and then you get down, then you try something else, and then you hit it, and then you kind of like learn the different things that you need to do, and sometimes they go back. Some things that you were doing, for example, let me give you an example. For example, at some point, using all the links with the same anchor text was not a problem. You could get high by doing that, okay, but then they changed that. So we started to mix the anchor text, or the way that you mix the anchor text on the coming links is very important. I mean, we had some sites with a strategy of linking only one or two more keywords, I mean, small keywords in the anchor text. We had some other sites that only had anchor text with long phrases, which were variations of the different keywords. We have other sites that were mixing also the brand of the site, the name of the site, and the URLs. We have completely different strategies for our links, and also we have some one-page stuff, like having some sites with the keywords in the URL, with the keywords in the title, and some of them that didn't have it. So when you combine all those, you have several different sites with different strategies.
And also, so you just watch those on a daily or a weekly basis, and if some sites start to rank higher, then you modify your main site so that they reflect that.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. That was what we're doing.
Now, so there was another key part of your strategy, which I saw and you took me on a tour through, was your guys, they were, guys, just like almost like call centers. You had just a team of guys going and getting backlinks. How did that work? I know you paid them per backlink. And you had a nice setup for offices here in this country. It was you certainly better than what you're doing.
As you know, the building links is the most critical aspect of ranking, and especially that we were targeting the most competitive terms. You see, going for the most competitive terms requires a lot of link building and planning and research and all. So we were going for mortgages. We got sites for a lot of different things, life insurance and all that. But I had that team that they were building links for some sites. They're building links even for like a year, using the winning strategies that we already identified of how where to get the links and how to make the anchor text of links, and I had to have people creating the links because although I'm a technical guy and I always wanted to work on them as much as possible, building links is not something you cannot. They had to go to the directories, they had to read the requirements of the directories, they have to know how to evaluate the directories whether they're good or not, and then they have to start to make the link from our sites. Maybe those are specific criteria, and each one was assigned like a group of sites, and we did things like from at first, you know, link exchanges when they were working, and then directory submissions.
So how many guys did you have getting in for you?
I think back then I had like 12 or 15 guys, something like that.
I thought I remember going to one of your rooms and had like 20 or 30. So it was only 12 or 15. It seemed like it was quite a few.
Yeah, probably 20, yeah. Probably some guy 20.
But, and I mean, so that with our team, so you took advantage of cheaper labor in the Dominican Republic, and with that team, that was what was enabling you, along with then monitoring some sites out on the web to see how they're performing. That was enough to keep you at the top of some of the most competitive keywords on the internet, being Pantene and Viagra.
Yeah, I can say, yeah, that it definitely helped. It was a competitive advantage. But I would say that if I didn't have automated a lot of the things that they were doing, I would probably have like two or three times the amount of people I had.
Right.
Yeah.
And how much did you pay each guy working there for a new link?
Because I don't know how to set up. I used to pay I think it was 10 or 20 pesos per link, something like that. Plus the salary, which was like 6,000 pesos or something.
So you're talking like 50 cents or a dollar per link?
Yeah, and each one, and supervisor would make like 15,000 or something like that.
So you were paying you guys out $200 a month, and then the supervisor is making like $500 a month, and that kept it all running. So given the margins, you could have afforded to pay them a lot more too.
Yeah, that's definitely. Yeah, for them, I mean, it was great because I mean the job, I mean, it's like the data input that they were doing, isn't they weren't doing anything particularly smart or sophisticated. You just got guys going to college guys who didn't need to that. The type of job they were doing is not really sophisticated. That was one of the challenges that we had. Let me tell you, this is a funny story. One of the guys, sent a link. That's how you know that they weren't even paying attention to what they were doing. He sent a link request to a guy, telling him, "Hey, your site, I really like your site, and your site ranks for fan made socks or fan made is dangerous or something like that." And the guy replied like, "Well, said you're stupid or something." I don't remember the exact keyword, but it was something really fun.
So it was an anti-Pantene site, and he tried to get a link from it.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they ended up being Spanish, they probably didn't understand exactly what it meant.
No, when we hired them, they had to know English.
Oh, really?
Because they need to read the instructions of each site.
Okay.
They need to be able to read English and use anything.
Two other things I remember you mentioning that were interesting is you did on-page split testing where you actually split test the pages of what would make the affiliate program convert better, didn't you?
Yeah, say that again, I'm sorry.
You were doing on-page, you were split testing your what was on pages, on your landing pages, you were split testing those in the organic search results so that you could figure out what would make the affiliate program convert the best.
I don't think I got to do that now, but not back then.
I remember you telling me about how you were split testing on-page search. So, you'd try different things, and then you'd leave them in the search results, and you'd see if the overall revenue from the site increased or not. And you were doing that in organic search. Did I understand that correctly?
If I was doing that, I don't remember. What I remember doing was that I did test the merchants. Obviously, I just most of my site were review sites or comparison pricing sites. But I was giving the offers of my merchants, and then I look at the revenue sides of things, and the best converting ones, I push them to the top, so that they get more sales. That's what I remember.
What about our keywords? I think I remember you telling me one of the best keywords which people didn't realize. Everyone thought like Fentanyl was the best keyword, but I think that the actual best keyword was bifentanyl, wasn't it? Or cheap fentanyl.
Now I remember what I told you. Yeah, this is an interesting thing. I will remember I was doing that then. But when nobody else was doing is that in the organic results, I had like a script on my site that would record in a cookie the keyword that referred the visitor, right? And I had another script that when I send the visitor to the merchant, will include the cookie. We'll pass us. Most of my merchants allow you to try campaign ID, so the key will pass like a campaign ID to the merchant. So when the sale was made at the merchant, I was able to track which were the best converting keywords. So I was able to track from a merchant. For a merchant, it's easy to track the best or converting keywords organically because the visitors is on the same site, right?
Mm-hmm.
You just have your analytics, and you say, oh, when they reach this page, and when, so your analytics can tell you the best converting keywords organically when you're a merchant. But as I was an affiliate, and I was doing organically, and I was doing business organically, I wanted that information so that I can focus on the most important keywords. And that's what I did. I'm not sure if you understand the concept I mean.
Yep, and so you did that by passing that data through the merchant and then getting it when the sale was made.
Yeah, I was passing them to one of the variables. So I had the affiliate ID, then I have a campaign ID. So the campaign ID, I included the keyword. Because they use
and so overall, was it more profitable spending time on keyword fencing or keyword back fencing? What did you say to me?
The thing is that with back fencing, I mean, you have higher conversion rate, but for fencing, you have more traffic. So at the end of the day, I think fencing was the win because you get more sales from
that. Okay.
And so
what were the top converting keywords for fencing?
I think it was back fencing.
Back fencing?
Yeah.
And then what were the top five?
I think the ones related to buy, I mean, order fan, I mean, purchase fan, I mean, people that our chief, I remember my chief fan was a really good one too.
That's kind of funny. The chief fan name would be a better converting keyword. And you weren't necessarily giving the chief fan name, you were just getting out there first.
No, I mean, I was giving the chief. That's why he was somebody very good because as a super affiliate, I have lower base prices. I was able to compete. I mean, there was eventually, one of the things that I did was some affiliates were, when I get to the top, I mean, when I became the number one in the results, I try to get some exclusive deals from the merchants. I mean, I tell them, listen, I'm saying you do the business. I want you to give me something you're not giving everybody else. And what they usually do is that they give me they drop the prices, they give me higher commissions. For example, the guy from Viagra gave me an exclusive coupon that I could give my customers. So, and because I told them, I need something exclusive to give me, because I know eventually everybody's going to be, we're going to be fine with a lot of people in the service. There is, because it's hard to hire your link structure, and that's why it's not difficult. If you know how to start a competitor, it's not difficult for you to get the rankings that you want, because it's really hard to hire your link structure.
So what happened? How long did all this last for? I know you did mortgages as well. How long did all this last for? What happened? And what happened?
The mortgages, I tried all the different industries, and I got to the top of all of them. But I mean,
you got to the top keyword mortgage.
Yeah, and Yahoo.
What number ranking were you on Yahoo for keyword mortgage?
The highest was about like number 8.
You're number 8 on keyword mortgage in Yahoo. That's
yeah, it was number
8.
Yeah, and I
then,
was number.
So then what happened? I mean, you're not still doing this now. So what happened between then and now?
Yeah, the thing is with those keywords, I mean, I got to number 2 for refinance mortgage, which is a lot more valuable than mortgage. You got higher quality leads. The thing with those all the industries is that the payouts are not as attractive from RX. I mean, a first page ranking for mortgages does not worth as much as I thought because most of the money, the merchant makes most of the money. I mean, they don't give that much, that much of a commission to the affiliates. On the RX, I got tired of jumping from one affiliate network to the other because some of them were doing some things that behind the scenes that were really shady, and they get shut down, and all of them, I mean, they were closing and running with their money. I think some of them got in jail, and yeah, it's just really messy stuff, so. So I got tired of that, and also I got tired of Google kicking my ass. I mean, they started getting tougher and tougher and dropping my size. And it's really hard to compete on those sites doing white hat things. And I really didn't have, like, the team to create white hat sites. I mean, create, like, Google content, something. You know, English people are going to be creating the type of content. So I built an affiliate network. I leveraged my position as a super affiliate with lower base prices. And I had some, and they gave me private labels. So I integrated my site via XML to their sites. I created an affiliate network that was pretty much like taking my affiliate orders and pushing them via XML to the merchants. That was the second phase that I did.
So you went from being at the end point to you went to step back and almost became like a wholesaler.
Yeah, it was really interesting, and it was more stable, I mean, because I had a bunch of affiliates pushing orders to me, and I didn't depend on. I had my sites as well pushing orders, but I didn't need to depend that much on. And the crazy thing is, like, oh, now I'm not one that. I mean, it's just crazy. So I had, and doing the XML thing, I jumped from several merchants too because they got out of business. And the last one got out really nasty. So at the end, I kind of like connected all the dots. So I became a merchant, like, I became a merchant, what was that? I think it was at the end of this. I mean, it was about last year, I think it was. I became a
merchant. So you became a merchant for what, selling what?
I became a merchant. First, I was just focusing on controls. because of the risk, you know, related to the control and all that.
Are you focusing on
what? The non-controls. The non-controls are by IRA and the other ones. The ones that are not under the DEA jurisdiction.
All right.
Yeah, and then last year I got a lawyer from the U.S., and then I got a legal opinion from him, and then I became a merchant for fentanyl too.
Fentanyl's still going.
I'm sorry?
So fentanyl's still going. You're now a fentanyl seller.
No, I only run it for like 2 months because the lawyer, I started in December last year. And it lasted like until February because the lawyer sent me an email with who telling me that, oh, the government is doing this and that, you need to drop out of the business and I kill it. And I tell you, in January that year, I processed about $600,000 or something like that. So that, and I had to kill that business because the lawyer told me, hey, this is not a good idea or something. I went to the U.S. to hire a law firm. And then I said, no, I don't need this. Money's good, but I don't want to be. I don't want to be behind bars because there is no law in place. There is no law in place that says that it's illegal. But they are pursuing people like it was. I mean, and what's happening is that when they go after people and they find anything, they throw a bunch of charges and they find, and a lot of these people doing this are doing some more shady things. They got it for those things. So I didn't want to be the same boat. My wish what I dropped is because I didn't want to get involved in that. I mean, I didn't want to be part of that. I mean, I worked for the last, in June, it's going to be 4 years. I worked for the last 4 years building a software company.
So you migrated away from all of the search stuff into making a software company. Yep. I mean, you were effectively one of the best SEO guys in the entire world, bar none, and you stopped. So can you help me understand, and you mentioned that Google was kicking your ass, is it just because it was too much work to keep up and so it was easy to become a wholesaler and you could have kept doing it, but it's just too hard? Is that the reason? Like, why the switch? That's a fascinating question for me.
No, I didn't. I didn't completely switch. I mean, I still do SEO. I always keep. I mean, my blog is ranked in Google for advanced SEO. I have other sites in the travel industry, TripScan, which is still ranked high on vacation packages. It's SEO for me. Something that's really interesting and challenging, and I keep doing it. But I need to make the money. I mean, I'm still fighting because I have to do it now to be. I really didn't like to be a consultant. You see, when you can make money that much money on your own, creating your own site, why would you be selling your services on an hourly basis? So that's something I'm still struggling with. So yeah, the money when you're an SEO, the biggest money is going to the most competitive industries, but not like an affiliate. So my switch was trying to move away from affiliate marketing and becoming more of a merchant. And getting on and rocking my own size. That was a switch. Because you're a merchant, unless you're on casino plan or something, the merchant is the one who makes most of the money. You understand? Once you become a merchant,
there's a lot of competition between merchants, and so that keeps prices down.
Yeah, there's a lot of competition, but I mean, most of the merchants are not really good on the internet marketing or an SEO or pay per click or something. So they can compete as much as they want, but it's not. When you're an affiliate, you know how to market, and then you become a merchant, you become far more profitable. Like I said, when I moved from affiliate to merchant, my profits that doubled because I was jumping the middleman.
Your profits doubled from being an affiliate to being a merchant?
Yeah, because I cut the middleman.
So you cut that middleman out, and so that was because you were doing your own search and being a merchant at the same time, is that right?
Yeah, and you were recruiting affiliates, you have all the people bringing you revenue, and it's beautiful. Why? Right? It's something I didn't do.
So you still do? How much time do you spend now still on search and SEO?
Right now what I do the most is what we're doing right now is I launched my software back in February. And
this is a software company. I mean, when I visited you, you were telling me about this 4 years ago. So this is software that's been in development for a long time.
Yeah, this software has been in development on January, it's going to be 4 years. We launched it back in February. The software. So what I'm doing right now. Is I'm with the lead that we get from the software that we approach them and we try to help them use the software to get them better rankings on the results. We're in the early stage of the software. We're still creating the success stories. Well, we plan to do another launch now that we've learned a little bit more about internet launches. So right now what we're doing is creating success stories with those customers. And
so you've made, as a former Viagra and Phenamine affiliate, you've made software that will help people get searching. So let's use me as an example then. So with MeetInnovators.com, I mean, I should do some SEO on the site. I haven't looked at the site for years, and I'm not very good at it, so I just know the basics. What would you be able to do for a site like mine using your software?
Yeah, SEO, I see SEO as improving that. I no longer see SEO like rocking for XYZ keyword and getting there, especially because it's getting more and more difficult to do that. But improving the overall kind of quality, the overall kind of traffic that you, or qualified traffic that you get to your site. And there are three things that you can do to improve your website. You can get more links, and the links are good, and this is the most important thing. That's something that I personally recommend, and I do, is to get them manually. You want to build the relationships. You want to get the links. That's what I do with my blog. I get several thousand links, and I don't do any manual link building for my blog. It's just natural links come to my site because of the building relationships and sharing content. Same thing you're doing. You just need to promote your site a little bit more. You need to make it more visible.
So you're talking about building relationships with guys that have high rankings and so getting to know them so they naturally link you. Is that what you mean?
You build relationships with the mappers, the connectors, the people that you get a mention from them, you build relationships from them, you get a mention from them, and that's been spread to a lot of all the people that are going to take your, they're going to mention your story, they're going to link up to you. That's the first.
So you get that by providing good content, so people want to
learn. Yeah, you have to provide the good content, but you need to promote it. You need to make sure that.
So how do you promote it? I mean, on a site like mine, I mean, I'm a busy guy. I don't actually care much about search rankings, but let's say I did.
Yeah, I'm a busy guy too. And what I do is I get a bunch of subscribers, and they promote my content. They submit it to the social media sites, to the social network sites.
Why do they do that for you?
Because they enjoy it. They became fans on my site. They go on, they promote my site and stumble upon. Because I share information that they value. You see what I'm saying? I'm kind of like a mentor. I'm kind of like teaching them something. They like it so much that they want to share it with other people. And that's how you, not only you become an authority, but you also build trust and you build relationships.
If I do things like that and get to know the connected online that are promoting, talking about different stuff, like I go and get listed on Bonnie Boing and things like that, I can send her out to worry about it, whatever. Software for that. So what would your software do to help me?
Yeah, that's what I wanted to get. So first, that's the most important thing. You need to build the links. You need to build the links. So once you do that, the search engines are going to rank you automatically. You're going to start getting referrals from the search engines. The problem is that you're not going to get, probably 100% of the time, you're not going to be getting qualified traffic. I had the same conversation with a company called VentureLoop. They got a bunch of links. They did exactly what I'm telling you, but they're not getting the exact traffic that they want. You see, that's where the SEO or my software is going to help you. My software is going to help you by helping you identifying the areas of your site and the improvement. The most important ones, the most valuable keywords that you should be targeting. Okay, with my software, it's going to identify the keywords that you're really targeting, that you're getting ranking for. It's going to tell you you're ranking for all these keywords. You're at page 1, 2, or 3 of these specific keywords. And then it's going to give you additional keywords that you consider. And then when you get all that, it's going to give you, this is the keyword where you have the best opportunity, the best chance of success. These keywords have too much value on low competition. You shouldn't.
How do you recognize that they have value though?
We use the Google AdWords API and we cross reference data from the pay-per-click search engine.
Like I give you an example in my case. A keyword that is going to have value for me fairly soon is Hamlet Pearson, right? Because I want to get traffic from your name because of your interview, and then hopefully people read your interview, find it interesting, and then when I read some of the other interviews, that's not a keyword that's going to have value according to Google's API.
It's not going to be. But you're going to select it. I mean, the value, what I'm saying is in terms of sales. I mean, it's in terms of business value. Because some things are not really, and the beautiful thing about our tool is that you can give weight to whatever one of the metrics you want to give. For example, we weight the number of competitors for the keyword. We want to weight the number of we weight the potential amount of traffic that he was going to give, that he's going to send you. We weight the number of links organically that are competing for that specific page, for that specific keyword phrase. And then we pull that together and we measure the opportunity. By default, I think most people want sales, so we give a lot of weight to keywords that people are bidding high in that.
Okay,
but in your case, for example, if you don't want to give weight to the dollar value, you just move the bar and you say, I'm going to give weight to this. And it's only going to be taking into account the traffic. Or if you think that the competition is not good, you move the bar to what you need. And if you do a search, for example, in Google for my name, you'll see that if you're familiar with site links, my site just started getting site links, which is the small number of links you get under your URL, like a sign of authority.
I'm sorry, I don't understand.
When you do a search in Google for you see for a brand name, and you see under the name of the site, the description.
Like contact us and all that stuff.
You see a lot of small links, internal links of the site.
And so you have that now, dude?
Yeah, I have eight of those links right now. And I know that my name is listed on the search engine land. I'm in the global search engine land, which is a big site. And I have links from different places to my blogging for computer world, blog for computer world blog. I got links. That's why it's why it's so powerful. And what you're
that's interesting. So I'm looking at your name. You have that, and I don't have any kind.
Exactly. You see, and look at all the things the articles that I've been doing. I mean, I've been interviewed like twice. A guy came here and interviewed me in person. And I have a golf bill in Casa de Campo. He went to Casa de Campo for the interview. You can see that it's your most one-on-one interview. Probably like the 7 or 8 results on the page. It was interviewed by some guys out of UK. I've been part of 3 projects of experts. They call a group of experts who share their tips and tricks and secrets about SEO. And I've been part of three projects. So I tell you, and I just started blogging last year. So I'm telling you, you still haven't gotten to do the really good, interesting stuff. I mean, I started blogging back in May, and you know that English is not my first language. I started blogging and sharing information with all these guys now. And I'm teaching to speak at one of the search marketing conferences now. It's going to happen in June. You see that?
Yeah, I've been posting a lot of different places. I guess I'm going to have to get you to teach me some of this and that'll look better. Will your software, does it help with the on-page stuff as well?
Yeah. The software, my software is really interesting because I built the same processes that I use internally to run my site.
Well, I mean, how does it work in a case like mine? I mean, my blog is running WordPress. How does your stuff off my site without messing up WordPress?
Because my software automatically integrated with WordPress. We support the WordPress API, so it's gonna pull your posts and your pages directly from your site, so you can make changes on my software and update your posts and everything. So we support probably more than 90%.
How do you mean you support WordPress? You actually modify WordPress?
Yeah. I mean, the software is integrated to WordPress. I mean, you just provide your username and password, and then the software is gonna pull the pages and posts from the blog. And
does that mean that you then I'm using your software in real time on the Google search results, or how does that work?
This is how the software helps you. The same way that I've been when I want to work for any industry, it's one of the easy things. I mean the things that we do on a consistent basis. But there is a research that goes behind the scenes in order to get there. And so what I do is when I go to the when I want to work for a particular term, I look at the top ranking sites, and then I'm on the top ranking site. I try to identify a site that has been ranking there for the longest time, and then I analyze that site, spy on the competitor. And look at how the computer uses the keywords on the site and on the anchor text of the coming links, and also all the sources that the site is getting the links from. So pretty much I take a snapshot with an X-ray of a competitor that I consider a winner. Similar to in life, when you want to become successful, you try to learn from successful people. That's what I do here. I apply more of my SEO approach by studying successful competitors. As I keep saying.
So you're up there studying what's out there working and then building all that into the algorithms in your software. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. So the recommendation.
What I don't understand is, I'm using WordPress. How do you modify WordPress to do those things for me? I mean, you don't know what my site, what I care about ranking for, and in fact, I care about ranking for your name once your interview is published. So how do I tell it that? And then does it modify my pages in real time, or does it an update plugin for WordPress? How does that actually work?
Because it's a workflow. Okay, if you go to the homepage, I mean, you have to follow up several steps, and one of the steps is that you need to identify the keywords that you want to be ranking for.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so first, in a bird's eye view of the software, it first helps you establish a baseline. Where you at? I mean, where are you getting traffic from? How many of your pages are being indexed? What are the problems that you're having? Then once it establishes a baseline, okay, it helps you do a market research. What are the keywords that you should be ranking for? Okay, and what are your competitors that are ranking for those keywords doing?
Is this something I have to do myself, or can I pay you to do it for me?
Yeah, you can pay me to do it for me. We provide this software, and we provide professional services to the software.
So how much would that cost for a site like mine to get it done?
The software is like $630, and then the consulting is going to be like $2,000 or something.
And how long is that going to last for to keep my site ranking where I need it to rank?
We do that for for a quarter. I mean, you get the license of software for a year, and the consulting is it's about like 10 hours for 4 months. So you don't need to worry about it. We identify the goals you have. And we take care of with this software. We take care of it. We make sure you get to where you want to be.
Cool. Okay. Is there anything you want to talk about that we haven't covered?
Yeah. That's Well, maybe we can talk about my plans with the software and what I see me.
Okay.
I'm at an early stage with the software, and I'm definitely looking to build sales channels and establish relationship with complementary with people providing complementary services, and I'm that's something I'm definitely looking for, and I'll be interested in connecting and meeting people that will see a win-win situation with myself and my experience and what they offer to the customers.
So you're looking, you're open partners, you're open to anyone that wants to do deals. You're interested. I mean, there's companies that are out there running training materials on how to train different stuff. You do open to doing training, all that sort of stuff. Does that sound correct?
Yeah, and I already started doing that. I mean, I don't know if you know Jill Wallen from High Rank.
I know the name vaguely, yeah.
And I demoed the software to her, and she was really excited about it. She was really impressed, and I'm hoping to reach a lot of people with a high authority like she is, and that's one of the things I want to start getting to conferences, speaking, and getting out there, and because I see a lot of
doing that here. Is there anything else you'd like to talk about? If you could punt out or anything else.
I think that'll be it. Right now I'm considering opening a sales office in the U.S. for the software, because my direction I want to take is to make this a really successful product.
Cool.
Yeah, I've been approached for, I would not tell them it's a public company, in certain marketing space today. I was approached by them, and they mentioned the possibility of acquiring us. That's something that I'm not really sure at this stage whether.
I'm sure you have many options, my friend.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else you'd like to say before we close?
No, it's fine. So, okay. What do you think?
Thank you very much for doing the interview.
Yeah, thanks for you.